Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We're routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Turbo! All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got
got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The devil. If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I find. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn.
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Radio with the Knights of the Round Table. King Shaziz the Terrible here, waiting around for some of the knights to show up at the table. Anyway, they say that life imitates art. And that's pretty true when you go back and you look at some of the things that you've seen on TV, future, past events, so on and so forth. There's a lot of amazing correlations between all that, things that you've watched in some of your favorite movies and such. There's a little mini-series out there called Terra Nova. And I just kind of started watching this series, but it really points out a few things that in my view kind of frustrate me on the way that humanity does things. In this, to set the stage in this particular miniseries, there is a future world that is all scorched, and anyone who goes outside has to wear a special mask in order to be able to breathe properly from whatever it is that's in the air that makes it hard to breathe. And they also have a basically a two-child policy, population control. There's actually a police department for a population control. And so, in the beginning of this movie, there's a family, and they have an extra child, and they're hiding this child in. Basically, when the police show up to investigate the extra child in the house, they try to hide the child inside a vent in the wall. Well, of course, the child makes a noise, and they find the kid and all that kind of stuff. And the dad, trying to protect the kid, ends up getting in a fight with the police and ends up in prison. Then they got this big deal that looks ironically like the Hadron Collider that essentially opens a gateway to the prehistoric time when the dinosaurs were still alive. And so they call this project Terra Nova, and they're sending people from the future back to the past in order to save humanity and basically give the give humans a second chance. Anyway, somehow or another, the mama of the family and the two kids, the two oldest kids, somehow managed to end up getting dad broke out of jail, and he makes it through the deal, and they're all back in the past and all that kind of stuff. And they got this this leader back there. He's telling about this is our second chance in our new world and stuff, and we're going to try not to repeat the mistakes of the future and all that kind of stuff. But ironically enough, there's a splinter group off in the deal. They call the Sixers or something like that, and they're already at war with one another. So not only do they have the adventures of warring back and forth with the Sixers, but they also have the misfortune of having a war with all the dinosaurs that are chasing them around and such. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this show, and I'm thinking, and even in the movies, no matter how hard you try, you just can't get people to get along. You know, there's always some sort of reason to war with one another. Some, whether people are greedy for power or greedy for money or extra supplies or feel like they didn't get the same size piece of cake that somebody else did and feel like they've been cheated or whatever. You can look all the way through the history of modern day society, all the way back to from recorded time all the way to the present day. You'll note that there are all kinds of conflicts and wars and people fighting amongst each other because they don't agree on whatever it is that they don't agree on. And there are certain guys and gals out there in the world that all the way through the entire history of it all have wanted peace. They wanted they look out and they see everything out there is good. You know, there's so much that we're blessed with as far as land and resources and such. And if it was all taken care of, and we were good caretakers to one another, the world could be a wonderful place if you could just get the people to stop battling with one another. And so those people do exist. There's good people all over this world that believe in taking care of each other. People that would help out a total stranger and such. But the ironic thing is, no matter how hard these good people try, there's still some form of evil out there, whether you want to call this evil Satan or the devil or the elite or the secret societies of the world. They're always trying to do some dirty deed behind the scenes. Somebody who wants to have power. And they'll suppress certain information and technology so that nobody can know the truth, and they won't know what it's all about, what the whole power behind the scenes, where we all came from and such. So you got people out there who want to try to put the truth out to the people, to let them know, hey, look, this isn't the story that you're reading here, isn't what was actually occurring back there, and here's my evidence, you know. And it's a constant battle for information and trying to get people to understand. But there's some folks out there that are in the matrix that just, they won't understand. No matter what your information is, they just won't understand. Their view is just that. It's that they're going to hold on to it as tightly as possible. And they'll refuse to listen to any information that's contrary to what their belief is. So if you sit back and you analyze just the human state, the way that people think, and seems like everybody in the world, every single individual in the world, wants to be the center of the world. They want to be the center of attention. They want to be famous. They want to be rich. They want the unachievable, it seems to me. You know, some folks just want to be noticed. Some folks just want to be recognized or just try to get along with the world in general. We see people in this world suffering, and folks that are more blessed as to wherever they may be. You know, it's kind of like winning the lottery, so to speak. If you're born in the right area, you're blessed. You don't see all the things that's going on the other side of the globe. You don't know everybody's plight or everybody's suffering. And so, you know, there's things that you don't see, you don't understand. There's stories that you're not aware of. And you build your life accordingly. I looked up through the my subscriptions on YouTube because I like to try to keep an eye out on what's going on in the world. And of course, you know, you got to weed through all the different information out there. There's people who are living off the grid that basically sharing their information out there. Practical Preppers is one of them, and you've got religious things out there about the blood moon and stuff like that. You know, there's prophecies and things going on in the world that be pointed out by different individuals. And one of the deals that I'm looking at right now is a deal Dutch Cinch put out, the New York hit by earthquakes and Arizona volcanic activity shown and such. And it just goes on and on. There's all kinds of different little news headlines of things out there in the world. You really got to be careful about what you watch and about what you believe. You got to be discerning in the information that you're taking in. First off, it can get you so doggone depressed that you get frustrated and you're ready just to give up and throw your hands down. Throw your hands up in the air and just walk away, and it's just so aggravating because, you know, regardless of whether any of this information is true or not true, it has a physical, can take a physical toll on your soul and your life, you know. Because if you think the world out there is in total chaos and you're living not necessarily in fear, maybe potentially in fear, but if you're living with a heavy heart knowing that there's so many things that need to be taken care of in the world that you believe that mankind could actually solve, but yet every time you look at the information presented to you from whatever direction you're getting your information, it's always something negative that says that there's still something bad going on in the world. I do know that when I was a child, I saw commercials on TV that basically showed that there were starving babies all over the place. You know, and I got a heart just like any other good person out there, and to think about some baby starving and crying, and the videos and the pictures that they showed always had like a little baby with tears in his eyes and flies on his face, you know, and sitting in the dirt. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, especially not a baby. And so that tugs at my heart and makes me want to try to do something about it, you know, but this has been going on since I was a child. And I keep asking the question year after year, I mean, why is this still happening? I'm still seeing the commercials. Why is the world still at war with one another? I mean, you only got to stick your finger in the fire one time to know that it's hot and that it's going to burn. So why can't, in my mind, in my questioning of the world, why can't people understand that no peace ever come from the end of the barrel of a gun? You know, and the good book talks about if you live by the sword, you surely die by the sword. You know, it all seems to be common sense for, you know, people paying attention. It goes in all different directions. It's not just these things. It's distractions from all over, you know. Whether it be mainstream media as far as talent shows and entertainment community systems or whatever. Radio, TV. And then you got governments that pass laws that literally say that mainstream media can lie to you. They can propagandize you. It's legal. And you can't come back and sue them or prosecute them for lying. That should be the first red flag. If it's legal to tell a lie, and the only time you're ever going to be concerned if you get caught in that lie is when the people are outraged that you're lying, and you see your numbers start to drop and people don't want to listen to you anymore because you're a liar. I very rarely ever turn on mainstream media anymore. Only time I ever do is to kind of take a look in and see what it is that they are lying about. So if I want to find out what's being propagandized or lied, I'll turn on Fox or MSNBC or ABC or all the different CNN, all the different mainstream media outlets. If I want to know what they're trying to convince the world of as far as propagandizing, lying, and political views, I'll just turn on mainstream media long enough until it makes me sick to my stomach, and then I have to shut it off. So at least for my household ratings, I'm saying that their ratings has seriously decreased. And there was a time where I would, you know, I would listen to the news, and I'd sometimes be guilty of spreading information that, look, this political guy did this, and you should vote for that guy. You know, I got suckered into the left-right paradigm, the blue-red deal. But as time went on, I found just a little bit more wisdom. Started doing little radio shows out here on the deal that turned out to start growing, and networks gathering up of people that, you know, were pretty much like me, fed up with the lies and the propagandizing and all that kind of stuff, and wanted to try to figure out some way to motivate the world out there into believing there is a possibility for a better future and a better world for all of us. And so I come from it from my perspective of my belief systems. You know, not shoving any of my beliefs on anybody, just trying to live my life and lead by example. And I pose a lot of tough questions out there in the world, and, you know, that's the thing, you know, if you don't pose the questions, if the question's never asked, then nobody ever even looks into it. We know the system is deceitful, and we got to be careful that even in the alternative media that system doesn't become infiltrated and deceitful. That's a lot of work to try to figure out a way to do something that hasn't ever been accomplished in the history of mankind. To try to unite the people of the world, not under some one world government or under some one world religion, just under an idea that we're all brothers and sisters and family. The impossible task of trying to steer the boat away from the doomsday or the apocalypse, you know. The mainstream media would have you believe that there's a boogeyman behind every bush. Most generally, the boogeyman's related to the government. But that's a whole new story for a whole new time. We've already been down that road. And the alternative media, you know, has an issue where there's a portion of people that believe that the doomsday is around the corner, and when it doesn't show up, then it kind of moves the date over a little bit, and, you know, we were off on our calculations, the meteor's going to hit the planet, you know, a year from now, or whatever, doomsday keeps getting scooted up, or postponed, or whatever. In the meantime, the world's still in the state that it is. I have to give credit to all the people out there who have actually done a lot of preparations for just such an emergency, of anything from a natural disaster to a man-made disaster or whatever, and did what they had to protect their family. To me, that made the whole going through that process not a waste of time, but a worthy learning experience for individuals that were smart enough and cared enough to try to make sure that if something did happen, their family would be protected. I think that we could really seriously come together as a community and solve issues around the world. But it has to be a little bit better than fractional, you know, a little pocket here, a little pocket there. We need to send the message out, and, you know, we do that. We do that here. We do that on Wake Radio and 1800 Online and TCT and all the different networks out there. People-to-people radio. Scotty Sovereign's on the land. All these individuals out there have been doing this for years, working behind the scenes to try to maintain networks and try to bring people together. And sometimes frustrations splintered the networks into two, but it still continued on. The main idea, the seeking solutions, the ultimate dream of trying to bring peace and sovereignty and decency to the world. So it hasn't all been for nothing. We have really made some advancements and actually shook the foundation of the mainstream media. And if that weren't the case, then there wouldn't be so many people out here trying to attack us on a regular basis, whether trying to shut off our broadcast or troll our channels and such. So we know we're basically hitting a soft spot or a nerve out there. And we've shaken their foundation. We've taken their ratings down with us, you know. And they don't, a lot of folks think that they don't notice. They do notice. And that's why whenever you turn on the mainstream media, you'll hear them talking about the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists and such. They're always trying to say that these guys over here are crazy. In the meantime, they're looking out the corner of their eye at their ratings as their ratings are dropping down to the toilet. So then they got to turn around and try to talk out the other side of their neck and say something like, well, you know, we're going to start talking about this a little bit because maybe one of these guys might be right or something like that. But it's only just enough to try to get their ratings to come back up. They never take it to the extreme where they demand an investigation on corruption that's going on in the world. You know, nobody ever vetted the president that is in office to this day, you know, with exception of alternative media. But nobody ever pushed the hard issues. Nobody ever demanded to see, you know, documentation, real documentation. Nobody ever pressed that issue because they were in fear of being called a racist or, you know, a conspiracy nut. And the biggest boat anchor that we have as far as what we, the people, could actually accomplish has always been fear. Fear of retribution from the government, fear of what the laws are, and lack of knowledge of the laws, lack of knowledge of what can be done. You know, all the corporations, all the companies out there, they know every single loophole in every single law. They have attorneys on hand to make sure what they can do and what they can't do. And if they do mess up, they got attorneys that will basically fix it so that they can do damage control. But we the people out here, on the other hand, I'm always hearing people, when you bring a good idea to the table, I'm always hearing people tell me why it is you can't do something. Well, that will never work because, or, you know, we can't do this, or whatever. You know, as long as you can't, you say and believe that you can't do something, it's highly likely that you won't do something. You won't even make the attempt. Even when somebody points something out to you over and over and over again, you see that it works, but yet you still say, well, you know, the government won't never allow that. The companies, the fuel industry, the medical industry, they won't never allow that. They'll send somebody out to kill you if you try to do this. And so the people at the bottom continuously find reasons why not to do nothing. The only thing holding them back in reality is the couch and fear. Lack of knowledge of what can be done. See, when I talk about things, I always talk about possibilities. I always want to talk about what can we do. We know we can't do this. And like in alternative energy, Lenz's law, it's written in stone. You know, you can't get around it. Well, maybe you don't have to get around it. Maybe you can set it up so that it never occurs to begin with. If you know the cause of it, then you know how to keep it from ever even happening to begin with. So looking into the alternative energy world, maybe you can get the energy that you want out of a generator in a different form than what you've been accustomed to. That falls into play with everything out there. Everybody out there can find thousands of reasons why not to do something. Because they've been told their entire life that this isn't possible. Some people believe the earth is flat. Some people believe the earth is round. Some people believe we did go to the moon. Some people believe we didn't go to the moon. And it's back and forth continuously. There's all sides to every story. So many different versions of it that the average Joe sometimes just gets so tired trying to figure out who's telling the truth that they just walk away and they lose all motivation to do anything positive. If it ain't possible, why even try? And if you believe so wholeheartedly in the laws of physics being written in stone, then you won't try. If you believe that certain things aren't possible, see, beliefs are a strong thing. Some folks actually go to war and kill over beliefs. And however misguided it may be, they will fight tooth and nail. You show them the science of the so-called climate change, and you show them the flaws. They will argue with you until they are blue in the face. And you're sick to your stomach of hearing it. Over and over and over again, because they are so convinced that the science is right, that the community of scientists out there and the governments of the world, why would they lie? And then you'll get people that will say things like, well, you know, even if we're wrong and there ain't no climate change, what is wrong with cleaning up the planet? Nobody on the opposing side ever said there was anything wrong with cleaning up the planet and being a good caretaker. What they were frustrated with was the fact that the people would use false science to literally steal and extort from people. So if there's going to be anything out there that is ever going to get accomplished, you got to get around individuals that will continuously fight to preserve a system that is bold-faced lying to them. That's why I don't believe that we need to be under a one-world government. I believe that the checks and balances, such as the way the United States was set up, where you got a country that has states, that has cities, that has towns and villages, and there's a government within a government within a government within a government all the way down the line. If at the very least, it's a whole lot of hurdles in between ultimate power for the elite all the way down, because you got to take down all these governments before you can get control of the people. And then you have to deal with the people themselves, who aren't going to agree with what you're trying to do. So the same thing would apply with all the worlds and all the nations out here of the world that you need Russia to be Russia, you need China to be China, and so on and so forth. You need all these nations to be their own nations, and preferably with checks and balances within their own borders as well, at the very least, be those hurdles that slows down any world domination plans. So that's why I don't believe we should have a one world council or a one world government. I believe that if everybody wants to come together with their brothers and sisters around the world and talk about things that can be done to try to improve the planet in a capacity of friendship, talking to friendship, that's one thing. But for having ultimate authority over people's rights and sovereignty, that's, to me, is a dangerous thing. And it's like one step backwards towards having a king as your ruler. A monarchy, a dictatorship, or whatever you want to talk about. And we don't need no dictatorship. Because one man by himself is not going to make this world a better place. One man by himself is always going to cover his own behind, like the history has shown. And without those checks and balances, the one man can do whatever he wants. Because like the Pope out there, he's treated like God. He's treated like a rock star. He could come out and say whatever it is that he wants to say. And, you know, hey, the people cheer and root and follow. Even though there's a possibility that this individual's leading the world astray. So all of what I'm talking about, it sounds like so hopeless that there's no potential to make the world a better place. It's impossible. But that's not the case. Because in your own life, your own individual, see, it's the burden that you're carrying on your back that holds you down, that you believe that you have to carry around. You don't. You don't have to carry it around. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You don't have to go out there and put yourself in bondage to have fancy things throughout your entire life. It's blatantly obvious you can't build yourself a stairway to heaven. Been tried before, and it failed. When I watched part of this show that I was talking about, the Terra Nova, it was pretty neat that there's portions of this that would be awesome. You know, there's actually got people that they're running around building these houses up for everybody, and so everybody that comes through, they got their own home and everything, and their community. They grow their own food, and they try to take care of each other, and all this kind of stuff. And they got a little bit of structure going on that, you know, kind of keeps everybody from breaking laws and this kind of stuff. There's just, anytime you put one man in charge, you run the risk, serious risk. You ask the average Joe out there in the United States if they want to be over there fighting in some other war, they're going to tell you no. With the exception of the ones who believe that there's a terrorist behind every bush, which they will, you can tell right out of the gate, they will basically repeat the same propaganda that was told to them to you as the basis of information of why we can justify that we're over here doing what it is that we're doing. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash and the President of the United States and all the different leaders from around the world are up to no good. They're sitting around putting their chess pieces in place for whatever purpose to ensure that their interests are best served. There was a time that people believed that the government's interest was for the people. You know, that's what the government was supposed to be set up by the people, for the people, you know. And they were the representatives in the republic. Somehow or another, folks ended up figuring out ways by which they could actually make money off of the government and manipulate the government by getting a lot of, you know, there's an old saying, the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. So if you make enough noise, and you're the only one making enough noise to the Senate or the Congress, they're going to try to make you happy and give you something. So you'll shut up and go away, because they don't want to lose what they got. They don't want to lose that power. They don't want to lose that gravy train. They don't want to lose the notoriety of being senator or congressman. When in reality, the key point should have been this. The Pope himself is not better than any other man on this planet. My book says, for all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that there is... Jesus said that there's no man comes unto the Father except through me, which tells me that not the pastor, not the preacher, not the cardinals, not the bishops, not the Pope, not anybody is anything more than people who are supposed to be out there preaching the word. But yet, you'll see it. It's a the man dressed all in white, the man sitting on a throne, the man carrying around a scepter with a satanic version of a crucifix. And people following him around like he's a rock star when he's not. And he's not holy. In the Christian belief system, Jesus is holy. Nobody else is. Everybody else is just a man or a woman. Everybody else out there, all are equal and created the same before the eyes of God. No matter what you believe, you're no better than the guy sitting next to you or the gal sitting next to you. We're all equal. And we all bleed the same color regardless of our race or our background. And we all have to figure something out down here in this world. We have to figure out whether it's worthy for us to hate one another because of our backgrounds, our colors, or our belief systems, and try to kill each other off and war and argue a feud, or whether we'd be better served and serve humanity in our communities by trying to, you know, be respectful of one another. Be understanding of, you know, they say tolerance towards one another. And moving forward. You know, there's a belief system out there that wants to force the belief on you. And you are the enemy because you believe totally different than they do. That they will kill you over it. And I wouldn't support any God like that. Nor would I support any government like that. But I'm only one individual. I'm only one individual in an entire sea of other individuals with dreams and hopes and aspirations. In my life, I look out there and I don't want to see people suffer. Ironically enough, I was born under the sign of Libra, if you're looking into astrology or something like that. And there's a deal that has scales on there, you know, scales of justice. And for me, all the scales have to be balanced out. It has to be equal, you know. I would rather step off the scale and let my brother have more than to see my brother do without. And does that make me any better than anybody else out there? No, it doesn't, because all men are created equal before the eyes of God. It just means that I get it, you know. I understand that even without divine intervention, history has already proven itself time and time again. That war begets war, and violence begets violence, and hate begets hate. And so, you know, the atheists out there, there's a lot of them that are really good people that don't waste their time going around trying to argue with people. There's a large number of them that will go out there and literally spread hate and discontent because of the Christian label or the Catholic label or any God for that matter. But it all can't be painted with one wide brush. It all can't be say, oh, well, it's because of religion why we're all warring and stuff like that. No. That's not even remotely the case. The first time somebody found a shiny stone or a piece of gold or silver and they was the only one that had one and somebody else saw it and they decided, well, wow, I'd like to have that, you know. Can I have that? And then somebody said, no. It's mine. It's all mine. And there it began. The first murder in recorded history as far as religious views go was done with a rock. And you've got communities out there that will fight amongst each other to get rid of the guns, to ban the guns, or keep the guns. Continuous battle, back and forth. Those majority of the good folks out there that own the guns only own them because they don't want somebody to harm their family. And so, if there's anything that you take away from this conversation that I'm talking about, Raymond says it all the time, if you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. That movie, talking about life imitating art, it led into a conspiracy. Found some strange writings out by the waterfall, and then they was trying to figure out what it was all about. It led into a conspiracy, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out. Is that somebody was trying to tell the other people who they felt were blinded by the situation that the real purpose behind the whole going back in time to the basically prehistoric time with the dinosaurs was to literally change the future. To he who controls the past controls the future. And you can see that in reality in the school book. And the history that's written there within. If you control what people understand as what's going on, you could make whole sections of society look bad, and everybody's like, well, I wouldn't do that to somebody, so, you know, they deserved what they got. But the truth is only as good as the person who is writing it. And sometimes throughout history, certain agendas had put the person writing the pen in a position to where they might want to skew it a little bit more towards their favor so that those in the future who read it would look upon them with a better light. So it's up to those who really care out there. It's up to those who really want to seek the truth to not only be discerning in the information that they get, but to be respectful on information that they don't agree with. It's better just to listen to the information, state your point of view, and show why it is that you think that it might not be right. Open in a peaceful dialogue or debate between individuals as opposed to getting angry and frustrated. Because if the moment you see that you're not going to convince anybody of anything, that's when you should back off. You put your information down on the table. You peacefully talk about it, ask questions, listen, and decide from there. I sound like I'm trying to teach humanity how to move forward in the future when the majority of the individuals out there are probably smarter than I am. They already get it. But it's the hopes that some of this information, that somebody says it, whether it be in text or on a podcast, and somebody hears it, who gets an idea, a positive idea. All of these videos that show, you know, ideas. Stephen Gibbons typed a comment in and said, "This is why I don't like any form of hierarchy. We all have the same size brain in our head. We can learn anything we want to if we have access to information. In fact, that is the only thing that makes us different, is our experience and our information we have had access to. We are all unique. How would you decide which unique thing is more or less than another unique thing? They are both unique, one of a kind. They are all priceless." And I agree. We're all pieces of the puzzle. And no man has more knowledge than any other man. I mean, come on, folks. If you knew it all, wouldn't life be boring? And somebody who knew it all would pretty much be in charge, because they would know every single way around every single thing. As far as I know, there's only one entity in my belief system, and that's God. I personally would not want to know it all. It would... I have no idea why that's always put in there. Not even going to repeat it. But anyway, I believe in people. I believe that the majority of all the people on this world are good people. I believe that a lot of them make poor choices. But I still have hope that their poor choices will mold them into future people that will understand. You know, they say you never know about something until you walked a mile in somebody else's shoes. And it's true. I don't know why they made the choices that they did. But I wasn't making all the best choices in my life either, so I've got no room to judge. Mine is only now that I'm standing where it is that I'm standing, I can tell you where I've been, and I can share that information with you in hopes that whatever mistakes I did make in the past, you could see and you wouldn't follow in those footsteps. Now I'm looking towards the future. I see a beautiful world out there. I see resources, I see potential, I see possibilities, and I'm saying that we have an opportunity here. We don't have to go all the way back to the prehistoric times to change history. History can be that backstop, that reminder of what not to do. If we go back in time and we change history, then everything from that point forward, however messed up it might end up being, nobody learned anything from it. But with all the terrible atrocities that's happened in humanity, humankind's history, recorded history, and all the good people that are standing here right now, the way to move forward is to look back and see what not to do. the way to for humanity to have a chance at survival is to move forward with the knowledge of what has occurred in the past and where we went wrong. That's the only way to do it. Otherwise, it's like Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left? And it can go on and on and on until finally we push it too far and the elite of the world destroy everything it is. There's obviously somebody up the top there pulling strings as far as down here on Earth and financially and governmental wise. There's obviously somebody who has the money who is basically manipulating all these nations into war and conflict. There's obviously agendas all over the planet of people wanting to get things done their way and use whatever means necessary to do so. The ends justify the means. To depopulate the planet, or to preserve the natural resources, or to save the planet, or whatever. Mankind has made many, many, many mistakes. And the biggest mistake in the meaning of insanity is to repeat something over and over again and expect a different result. Common sense dictates, if you stuck your finger in fire and it hurt and it burned and it was hot, that the next time you stick your finger in fire, it's going to be the same. So all I'm suggesting is that we stop sticking our finger in the fire as mankind. We stop making the mistakes of sitting there arguing amongst each other because I don't believe in your faith and you don't believe in mine. And we're just, I'm just stupid or part of the problem. Household and your lifestyle may be totally different than mine. Mine may be comfortable and it may work for me just like yours is comfortable and it works for you. Doesn't mean we can't be neighbors or friends or good caretakers for one another. That's the message that the Pope should have been giving to people out there. You know, they talk about bringing the world together. They talk about uniting the world. You don't have to mix all the religious beliefs of the political beliefs together. You don't have to do that. You just have to be understanding that there's no reason to pull a gun on each other because you don't agree. And if you're going to claim that there's a tragedy going on in the world, then everybody needs to come together and go resolve this tragedy. To clean this up. Charging people money for carbon tax isn't going to clean nothing up. It's just going to charge people money. And those who have the money will pay more money and be able to dump more crud. So the crud level is going to stay the same. You're going to remain on the same exact path. What difference does it make if China's putting out more crud than the United States or more than the Russia or whatever? It's still crud. And who's going to charge the volcanoes taxes? Who's going to charge nature tax? We got to get past the stupidity. Which is really hard to do because there's a lot of it going on. And we got to get down to basic common sense. And if we're going to quote science, we need to quote basic science that everybody can understand and explain to them why certain things are occurring. And instead of trying to put the world into a panic, try to find a solution or a resolution to resolve the issue before it ever even gets to the point where we're living on a scorched earth. I hope what I'm saying makes some sense. And I hope I ain't preaching to the choir. I hope I'm not just sitting here ranting. That's one of the most offensive terms that I've heard in all the time. Don't know why it is, but that word ranting drives me nuts. It's a term that sounds to me like somebody trying to belittle the words that are coming out of your mouth. If a person is concerned enough to speak, and the information is coming from the heart and they feel it is truth, then people should give that respect to listen. You know, I listened to a certain show over on Awake Radio. Listen to them all the time. Patty Walking Turtle and all the other good individuals out there. Barbara Threecrow. Sister Tracy. And Two Dog. And I listen to them and they pass the talking stick around and they give each other the respect and they listen. If only this world could be a nation such as that. If only this world could take some piece of history, some sort of advice, some sort of lead from the Native American Indians and the different cultures around the world. That they would pass the talking stick to one another and at least, at the very least, hear somebody out. Without any prejudged conceptions or judgmental after. Because it's my belief that every single individual out there has a message to give and every single individual out there needs to be heard. Since we're all equal, we're all standing on the same ground. We all have the same choice to move forward in a positive manner or to fight with one another till the end of time. I play this song right here. It's by Deep Purple, Perfect Strangers. I don't know why it is about that song, but it kind of makes me think about it's what the world wants us to be. They want us to be perfect strangers. They want us to not communicate and talk and point out things. They want us to not seek the truth, and if we do find the truth, they want us to not share it. And who are they? In every single one of these stories that you hear, they did this, they did that. They are those in the world that have the resources and the time and the power to manipulate lives of people that they never even met. And you want to talk about the word control freaks? If I go to a picnic and I got somebody trying to tell me what it is that I can eat during my picnic, hope you get the point. Anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. I'm going to play a few songs for you.
Can't
Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shaziz Radio and the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible. We're talking about, well, I say I'm talking about, is pretty much all the other knights are out slaying dragons or doing whatever it is in the world that they do. Maybe some of them is asleep. But life definitely does imitate art. You can watch some of those new movies on TV and stuff. And one of the things that I put posted a comment on a deal. I kind of almost posted it as a parable. I was talking about there's five sheep that are standing outside of the herd of sheep. I guess that's what you'd call it, a herd or crowd of sheep or whatever. And there's this big bad wolf over there, and he's telling all the sheep, he's saying, hey, let's go inside the cave and have dinner. And the five are standing outside there. They're kind of thinking about this, and they're listening, and they hear some of the sheep talking amongst each other. Hey, that nice wolf has invited us up into the cave for dinner. Let's go on inside. And then the five speak up, and they say, hold on a second there, brother or fellow sheep. He did say that we were invited into dinner. What he didn't say was who or what was on the menu. And so maybe we should, and you should think about this for a minute for running up in that cave. And that's pretty much what I'm trying to point out to the world, you know. That we as humans need to learn how to not only just be good caretakers, but to be good listeners, to have the wisdom to stand back and watch and observe and pay attention to things that are actually going on around so that we can be knowledgeable. We're witnessing what we've seen, and we deliver our truths respectfully to one another. You know, in every tribe, there's elders that have been around for a long time. They've seen a lot of stuff. They know the old ways, and they see all the signs. That knowledge, that wisdom that was acquired over generations. It's what we should be listening to. We should hear when they speak. We should pay attention. You know, every once in a while, you'll have some old folks that are done gone off the deep end, and whether for honorary purposes or just, health reasons why, they just went over the deep end. But I submit, you can even learn something from those individuals. Paying attention to history, knowing what things and how things were going on in the past. We got so much to offer each other here on this worldwide network. We've got histories, we've got cultures. There's medicines on the other side of the world that I never heard of that work pretty well for them. There's knowledge that we have amongst us that we could share with one another that could actually benefit health-wise, world-wise, mechanically-wise, whatever. Sometimes it might just be artistic, or sometimes it might just be for a good laugh or a smile. The differences between our cultures. Some words that I would say over here that you wouldn't say over there because they mean something slightly different than what it is that I'm thinking. vice versa. So the diversity of all the cultures is what makes our life interesting. And it shouldn't split us apart just because we're different. The Knights of the Round Table was put together for people to have a platform, a place to go to do exactly what it is that we do. To look out into the world and be those folks, those individuals that are listening, that are paying attention, that are watching the world and the events and pointing out the importance of not repeating the past and such. It's not always preaching to the choir, because sometimes I myself need to be reminded of why it is that we do what we do. You know, I can get frustrated, I can get battle weary. Because for the most part, when people do work, they want to see good results. But I realize that these podcasts that I put up there, you know, maybe they'll get heard and maybe they won't get heard. Maybe they'll be broadcast, rebroadcast, or maybe not. But on the off chance that somebody stumbles onto one and they hear one good idea out of that thing that benefits their life, whether coming from me or one of the Knights, or one of the comments in the chat room that we read often over the radio. It's something that you or I, or we do together, is captured in that podcast for eternity. And somebody down the line hears some words of wisdom, and they make a good choice in life that makes things better for somebody. That's what it's all about. You know, there's other groups out there from other radio networks that we were affiliated with in the past seeking solutions. And they talked about not only seeking solutions, but they talked about enacting those as well. You can have all the tools to build the house, but it won't get built until you pick up the hammer, pick up the saw, the nails, the paint. And somebody out there has got to be on the sideline with the pom-poms going and saying, yeah, go team, go. When we talk about the team, we're talking about all of humanity. If you're in the neighborhood and you've got your fellow brothers and sisters that are in need, and you can help them out in any way whatsoever, the moment you do so, you make that light of this world just a hair bit brighter. And if your brothers see you doing that for somebody else and choose to do that for somebody else, and that whole pay it forward thing takes play and the dominoes begin to fall and everybody's running around doing good for people, all the things at the top seem to trickle down. All the negativity of the wars and the rumors of wars and corruption seem to trickle down. Now, if we can figure out a way to put an umbrella over the top of all of our people, all of our brothers and sisters around the world, to not allow that negativity trickling down to destroy our hopes and dreams and aspirations, And then we can have more of our brothers and sisters out there building a literal roof, a shelter, away from the trash that is falling on everybody's heads. We can, from the bottom up, guide this world into a better realm of existence. We can make a difference from the bottom up. If you underestimate that good deed or gesture, that smile that you did yesterday or the day before that, then you underestimate your true power, your true potential. I wish that every man and woman out there within the range of my voice and can hear what it is that I'm saying, I wish that they could follow their own smile from face to face to see how far it goes. When you smile on a brother and sister, and they carry that smile over to the next person, and the next, that little tiny gesture just became a huge ordeal. And that smile will continue on until it finally meets with overwhelming negativity. So I'm thinking, if I'm going to send a smile out to the world, I'm going to send the first one, and then I'm going to send a one after that, and then one after that, and one after that. I'm going to keep sending reinforcements. I'm going to send an army of smiles behind that one smile to have that smile's back, so that whenever it reaches that wall of negativity, it breaches that wall of negativity. That no matter what, that smile is going to make it through that battlefield. That's power. That's the power that you have within you. And it doesn't matter which name of which belief system that we go under. However it works, nobody can deny that love is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful tool. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Every little thing, every little word, every little action, even in their own laws of physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So you know your positivity is going to be met with negativity. So if good's to overcome the evil, you and your brother smile at the same time towards that negativity. You and your brother and his friend and their sisters and their brothers and their cousins, and send that smile on with massive reinforcements. One good deed after another. And just continue to flood this world with all the love that you can muster. Because if we're going to grow hate and discontent in our gardens, if we're going to grow pain and suffering and sadness and fear in our gardens, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to live in that world that we created. I'm gonna plant flowers in my gardens. I'm gonna plant smiles and hearts and love. So at least in my little circle, my little bubble of my life here, is a sanctuary for anybody else who wants to be my friend or my family. I'm gonna protect them and let them know that they're loved. That little sanctuary right there. And when their sanctuary meets with my sanctuary, it gets bigger. And then we got more people. And we do this everywhere. We do this worldwide. And we make sanctuaries in our lives that we can bring other people into. Keep them safe and fed. Just out of harm's way. I don't think that's too hard. I don't think it's an impossible task. And I think that many other people in this world feel the same exact way. Where do you go to from there? You know, in the good book, it talked about God created man in his own image and woman, and said, go out into the world and be fruitful and multiply. That's what we need to do with our love. Take it out in the world and be the Johnny Apple seeds. Planting love in every direction. Throw it by the fistfuls. You know, the only way a military ever wins is when they go in with overwhelming force and just, you know, if it only takes a firecracker, you use a nuke. So when you're fighting negativity, when you're fighting evil, you gotta overwhelm it. That's the way I see it. And if anybody has a disagreement, can tell me where I'm wrong, you can always call in. Use the same username Shaziz on Skype. Add me as a contact. Call in and tell me where I'm wrong. You know, if you do something, then at the very least something gets done. But if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. And if you believe that you are worthless, and if you tell yourself or you tell your friends that you can't, there's a good possibility that you won't. If you believe it can't be done, then it won't. So that's why I hold tight to the dream. That's why no matter how many times somebody tells me that it's an impossible dream, it's an impossible task to bring this world together in peace, love, and harmony. And even people from my own faith would tell me the same exact thing, that it's written in stone, that it's not possible. You can't bring people of this world together because it's already written in stone. The story from front to back is already written in stone. But it was said by Jesus himself, lest these days be shortened, these things must come to pass. which gave me this idea. Did he just say what I think, or am I misunderstanding? Must things be changed? These things must come to pass. And that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night tells me that I don't know when God's going to show back up. So if I spend all my time wasting away trying to wait for that time to come to pass, I get nothing done. But since I don't know what time, day or night, that my God's going to show back up, I got a lot of work to do, because I see the world in a state of disrepair. And so if I'm going to have to live here and I don't know when the end is coming, then I might as well try to make the best out of a bad situation and try to make it at least tolerable for my brothers and sisters around the world, and preach words of wisdom and peace and hope and love. Because I don't know. I don't know when my God's showing up. And if my God never shows up, at least I tried to put a stone down there, pave a stone, a smoother path into the future for the children that I call my grandchildren, that are my children, and their children's children, and into the future and beyond. I think it's a noble cause to take care of your family and to send them out into the world with a little bit more knowledge than they had to start with, that hopefully they'd have a better life than what we've seen. There's individuals out here, all of us have been down some roads, some tough roads, and we've seen things. And we know. And we try to warn people and tell them, don't do this, you know, go this route. You know, there's a better way or something. And for those that listen, chances are they take a smoother path into their future. And for those that don't, they always come back with the same exact words. I should have listened. You were right. Well, if I'm going to be one of the wise men sitting around a circle sharing my story and my beliefs, I'm going to want to pass that talk and stick to other people, and I'm going to want to listen. I'm going to want to hear what they have to say. Because all the wisdom in the world is scattered amongst all the people of the world. No man has all the answers. And I'm thinking, I don't want to know it all, but I want to know enough of the truth that whenever I speak to my brothers and sisters around the world, I can be honest and say, this is the knowledge that I've acquired, and I'm doing the best I can for you. And if you have a better way, we can work together. I hope that something I'm saying touches somebody's life in a positive way. I hope that all the efforts from the Knights of the Round Table won't go in vain. I hope that all the efforts from all the different shows off of Awake Radio and No Borders, and TNS Radio from the old days, and 1800 Online, and Scotty Sovereigns on the Land. I hope that all those words that were spoken for all this time don't go in vain. I hope that someday our children will pick up the microphones and shout the words of wisdom as well. Because what we do here, even if it all sounds to be ranting to some, even if it all seems to be talk, what we do here is what the Native American Indians have done for generations. And they have the respect and honor to pass the talking stick.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Thank you. tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean. Just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call. If you need a friend, call me,
call me.
If you need a friend,
call me.
If you ever need a friend,
call me,
call me.
Call me,
call me.
Call me,
call me.
Call me,
call me.
If you need a friend,
choice to sit it out or dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but there loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
It's a real and constant mission.
I hope you dance.
Oh, so long.
I hope
tell
you dance.
Tell me who wants to look back on their youth and wonder where those years have gone.
I hope you still feel small stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
May peace prevail on earth.
Puisse la paix régner dans le monde.
Да будет мир человечеству во всем мире.
Que la paz prevalezca en la tierra.
Pace mbretërofte në botë.
Selam dhe molla ala misë.
Խաղաղություն ամբողջ աշխարհի մարդկությանը.
Ака ура пенха сума хаканя утхупа.
Yaşasın sülh bütün dünyada.
Не с ума кала даму тукукулу кока.
Нехай будзе мир человечеству во всем свете.
Више шанти вираж корук.
Ламбай пис истап лонвол.
Нека мир завлада на земли.
Нека пребъде мира по света.
Кава люда мя, ниньян и яши базе.
Сом ай и пупло ман санти пиеп.
Папас какава на мунду.
Ка ла пау превалги а ла терра.
Ntendere ukale pazico la pansi.
Амани о харума ве дуния камили.
Пу ла пе си майе дан ле мунд антие.
Ки ла пе ю вени дан ле мунд.
Ать мир вжде варне на земле.
må fred herske på jorden.
Barqaror ba sul dar jahan.
Dunyega man kan damahatta wa deve.
Mogen vrede heersen op aarde.
Zamli ginaule. Diki pusun sochuji.
Olko maailmas rahu.
Vallitkoon rauha maailmassa.
Tae ihos shvidobam telm soplios.
Möge Friede auf Erden sein.
Εύχομαι να επικρατήσει η ειρήνη στον κόσμο.
Τεκόπου αουαπούτενον δε τέκο αραπού λεχέ.
Ισρέ σαλόμ αλέ αδαμότ.
Βίσμε σιάντι ρεχέ.
Λέγε φρίδε ρίκια αουγιέρς.
Και ετοίμε το ατυράου λονάπ.
Σμόγα δάμε δι δούνια.
Κορεύ σιρκόν.
Τάουεν.
Και λα πάτσε ρένι σου λα τέρα.
Adam zatqa butkul dunyoda bebotchilik bo'lsin.
Amhoro naganzi kisi hose.
Amhoro yosa sagara muisiyos.
Tege ilue puaga irupedoro.
Asti bu hamu jihan.
Dunyoda tinchlik bo'lsin.
Khohai sandi pap jong mi yu nai lo.
Laibut mir pasaule.
Frieden mit alle Menschen auf der Welt.
Tebuna pasauli ataika.
Neka mirot zavladei na zemjata.
Ledjem beke o földön.
Inga ni hanzaka era ni zau tutu lui zau ni fanjia paha demana.
Semoga damai di dunia.
Yallal pachi istaltan fitinia.
Himanga do kiwanga
iti finua. Aine man enterion lali.
Fie pace te pamun.
Tayan desi e samodong bag.
Enim meg eo yat eb.
Bishoma santi faili rahos.
Mokta devar fred po yoren.
Abud abul msisi ravlul ar.
Telgi vi sola panarikse.
برقرار باد صلح در سراسر جهان.
پیس مات استاب لونگ ورو.
نیک بنج پوکوی نا جمی.
که پاش پروالیسا نو موندو.
تقسی مویو بی پلین کاو سای کچون.
ایمالو پیل فیل موی للالولان.
سیریری ادوتی نندوتی سیسی.
خوزو ایبتی لفاتی.
Пока хисо инне тен моу лефатен.
Но вери самое паутива.
Кутула акубе семсабени.
Нех покой жди владне на земи.
Най мир завлада свету.
Дуниду набат аку варто.
Амани на юэпо дуниане.
Му фред рота по юда.
Санай манатили ang kapayapaan sa daigdig.
Barqaror botsul dar jahan.
Pumil samadhanam nilabattum.
Dame ba mundu tomak.
Khohai santipap jong ma su lo.
Salam alam nisfan.
Fatawang ketop amirino imamani koto.
Dunyada barish taim olsun.
Dunyada tarakachilik bolsun.
Que tu mal te file mu и te la lolan.
Хай буде мир людству у всьому світі.
Дня не аманкайна.
Дуньоде кінстик бойся.
Тоу чук пабе, чо туа теплай ке тезай.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one.
Old
woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot. Indeed,
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to serve the table and the Knights of the Round Table.